The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. Oh, so we thank God for his kindness and his mercies. This morning, we are looking at todos o nada. So everybody say todos. Say it again, todos o nada. Todos o nada. Todos o nada. That means in Spanish, all or nothing. All or nothing. Everybody again say, todos o nada. All or nothing. You see, when we look at our lives and we look at things, we have people that say, we have different preferences. Some people say that they see in black and white. That is, they are all or nothing people. When they are with you, they give you everything. And when they are not with you, they are not with you. They are not hypocritical. They are in, whether they are in, they are out, whether they are out, if they are out. Now, of course, there are some people that says, life is not in black and white. We are, they see in grays. They see gray areas, they see in grays that it's not always like this. So they say things like my truth and your truth. So if you respect my truth, I respect your truth. Life is in grays. And yet some people say that life is not in black and white, life is not in grays, life is in colors. We see red, green, blue, gray, indigo. We see different colors. And we can manifest different things. And, it's not right, who is right or who is wrong. You know, everything can be right in different situations. However, in things that matters most in life, it is all or nothing. In things that matters most in life, it is all or nothing. In things that matters most in life, it is todos o nada. It is todos o nada. It is all or nothing. Yes, last week we were in Panama, like we said, and as we know, God is helping us. Doors are opening in Latin America, in South America, Central America, and effectual doors, and God is, and we are walking right through them. Amen and amen. And so I'm picking up some Spanish words. So you all will be multilingual. You'll be a multilingual congregation. Everybody say, todos o nada. Todos o nada. All or nothing. In things that matters most, think about it. In life, it's all or nothing. In education, you cannot be a medical student and you're attending law lectures. I'm not sure you will graduate as a medical doctor. You cannot be an accounting student and they are seeing you in psychology class. You don't attend accounting class. You want to, psychology. Then go and be a psychology student. It is all or nothing. Everybody say all or nothing. Todos o nada. In our careers, it is all or nothing. You cannot be working for company A. You are supposed to be there 8 to 5, for instance, in company A. But you say that your best friend is in company B. So if you go to company A, 8 to 12, then you go and sit with your girlfriend, your, well, boyfriend or girlfriend or friend or best friend, 12 to 5. What's going to happen after a while? After a while, you're going to get a golden handshake and there's going to be a separation. Why? Because the things that matters most in life, it is todos o nada. Todos o nada. It is all or nothing. If you look at even our salvation, it is all or nothing. It is all or nothing. Jesus is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. Jesus is either the Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You cannot be with Christ and you are with another thing or another deity or another God. You cannot be one leg in and you are one leg out. It is all or nothing. Todos o nada. It is all or nothing. Jesus cannot be the Lord of half of your body. You know, some people, it is their neck that got saved last week. Then it is their right hand that got saved. Then after that, their left hand. No, Jesus is Lord of all. Salvation requires all or nothing. That's why Jesus would say in Revelations that I'd rather that you are hot or cold. If you are lukewarm, I will what? Spew you out of my mouth. God requires an absoluteness in our relationship and commitment with him. The word of God says that, don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? He that will be a friend of the world has chosen to be an enemy of God. You cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God together. That's how it works. It is todos o nada. Todos o nada. Everybody say todos o nada. It is all or nothing. I mean, even if you look at our own personal lives, in the things that matters most to us, we require all or nothing. I mean, if you're a girl, a guy is coming, he's showing interest, he's trying to toast you, but you, a good guy, you require that, it's nice, he's a tech bro, you know, he has some beard, you know, he has, you know, his voice is a little, you know, baritone, you know, nice. Then you discover that the thing is telling you is telling B, is telling, I don't want to mention it because it's telling Ngozi, is telling Amina, is telling. What does that do to you? Would you want to be with such a person? Of course not. Because for the things that matters most to you, it is todos o nada. It is all or nothing. If you're a guy, you're talking to a babe. And, you know, you guys have been serious. You've taken her out a couple of times. You bought her, I mean, last Valentine, you know, you shook your account a little bit, you know, just to impress her, you know, and all that. Then you noticed that you bought her an Android phone. She has collected two different iPhones from two different other guys on the same Valentine's Day, and you didn't know. What do you do? How does that make you feel? What would you do with such a girl? Because for you, for the things that matters most, it is what? Todos o nada. It is all or nothing. It is all or nothing. Married people, same thing. You're a man, you come back from home, from work, and You see another man in your house, in a towel. And then he always says, oh, I was bored. I was bored. What do you do? How do you feel? Why? Because it is what? Todos o nada. It is all or nothing. And then it goes for the wife. I mean, you can't expect your husband to be with another girl, any even one other girl. It is all or nothing. So why do we think that with God, it is not all or nothing? Why do we want to play with our salvation? Why do we want to play with our walk with God? Why do we want to play games with God? When it is what? All or nothing. It is what? Todos o nada. Todos o nada. You see, the word translated love in the original Hebrew, where all the Greek love takes different expressions, but we look at the original Hebrew, is the word ahava. Ahava. Ahava in Hebrew simply means the consequence of accepting and discharging obligation. That's ahava. The consequence, ahava, is a byproduct of accepting and discharging obligation. So I am committed to you is the starting point. But what now happens after that is love. You see, we put the cart before the horse. So what am I saying? When you accept and discharge obligations, let's say married people, you've accepted and you're discharging the obligation towards your spouse, the feeling of love will come after. But what the world has told us is that love, marry the person you love. I'm not saying love isn't important, right? I'm saying that it's a byproduct. It's a what? A byproduct. It is not what comes first. It's what comes next. And when we accept the obligations and responsibilities of our walk with God, the love for God flows effortlessly. Affection flows from obligation. Reversing is disastrous. People say, oh, I will be obligated when I feel affection. I mean, we've seen, you know, as a pastor, sadly, I've seen young women walk out of their marriages because I don't feel affection. I want to be happy. We've seen older women or middle-aged women, older women, walk out of their marriages because I want to feel happy. Now, I know you're saying, Pastor, is it only women? Well, statistics shows us that 80% about of marriages that end in divorces, 80% of them, those divorces were filed by women. Yeah, I know there's 20% about that is filed by men, but, you know, God bless our women in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so it is all or nothing. All or nothing. Todos o nada. All or nothing. Revelation 3:15 that we referenced earlier on from 15 says, I know all the things you do. I know your works. It says that you are neither hot or cold. I wish that you were one or the other. I wish that you were either todos or nada. You were all or nothing. With spiritual things, there is no middle ground. There's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. If you are going to be with us spiritually, you are with us. If you are not with us, you are not with us. That's why Joshua, as we're going to see, will say, oh, are you for us? Are you against us? If you cannot be. There's a song that, I mean, it's long ago, you know, I think my grandmother, you see, Toba ma joko toko joko to, Toba ma joko tako joko ta, Kiti katako to, Shuro jo. Toba ma shigbagbo, Oje ma shigbagbo. No, if you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you don't want to be a Christian, don't be a Christian. Let's know that you are evangelism candidate. We are evangelizing you. With spiritual things, it is all or nothing. It is, you can't be in the middle, unfortunately. You know, so many times we bring our preferences into spiritual things, and that's where many people get burnt. You can't be in the middle, unfortunately. It is todos o nada. It is all or what? All nothing. You are either completely in or you are completely out. Jesus is either Lord of all or is not Lord at all. Jesus is not Lord in the middle. Nah. Like someone said, be all in or get all out. There is no halfway. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, be all in or get all out. There is no halfway. Be all in or get all out. There's no halfway. Todos o nada. Again, everybody. There's a story in Esther chapter 4, 1 to 16. I mean, you can read it when you get home. Esther 4, 1 to 16. Esther was in a place of prominence, if you will. But it was also a sensitive place because she got there. She became a replacement of a queen that was taken out because of the king's preferences. The king wanted the queen to do certain things. The queen didn't do it and she was replaced. So Esther was very cautious and rightfully so. When you know how you got to a position, then they don't want you to take a risk. And she was like reluctant. And in verse 13, Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. When Esther was giving excuses, oh, if the king doesn't raise his scepter, I am gone. You know, don't put me in this trouble. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. Don't think for a moment that because you are in the palace, you will escape when other Jews are killed. It says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place. It says, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows? If perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this. And Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die. The things that are pivotal in your life, it's going to be most pivotal. It's going to be all or nothing. It's going to be stop playing games. Stop playing games. It is all or nothing. It's either you are with that person or you are not. And if you are, it's a ride or die. You are in with your leg, two legs, two hands, everything. all or nothing. For the curses that God has placed upon your heart. For some of us, we have visions, we have dreams, we have business ideas. But you are playing it safe because you don't want to, If you are going to make an impact in your life, you have to take a position like Esther. I'm going to give this my all. It's not that I'm going to sit down and faff. It's not that I'm going to sit down and not pray. The fasting is going on. Prayers for open doors are going on. You're not fasting. You're not praying. You're saying, oh, it's all or nothing. May you not be a casualty. In the name of Jesus. It is time to get serious with your life. You need to realize, the example of just mentioning the fasting and prayer thing is not in my notes, but the key thing is, take that as an example. You want an open door in a certain area. You are not giving yourself and your focus to the fasting and prayer. You are eating crackers when everybody's fasting. You're checking. Let me just put some crackers there. You go on a table with Schweppes. They say, God understands, Joe. Let us pray. You come for prayer meeting, you know, everybody looks pious, and you're okay. Todos o nada. And, it kind of makes sense in certain areas that not to put all your eggs in one basket, not to diversify in investments, for instance. It kind of makes sense to diversify your portfolio, so you have some stocks, you have some shares, you have some crypto, you have some gold, you have some real estate. You diversify your portfolio. But you see, in life, things that pertain to your destiny, to spiritual things, you put all your eggs in one basket and you hand that basket over to God. That's what you do. It is all or nothing. All or nothing. Psalm 16 verse 5 says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance. You are my cup of blessing. Hallelujah. You guard all that is mine. Who is your inheritance? Who is your cup of blessing? Who guards all that is yours? God. You put all your eggs in one basket. And you hand the basket over to God. The story of King Jehoash in 2 Kings 13, 14 to 19, says, when Elisha was in his last sickness, King Jehoash of Israel visited him and wept over him. My father, I see the chariot and the charioters of Israel. I see that you are about to be taken away. I see that you are about to leave us. He cried. Elisha told him, get a bow and some arrows. And the king did as he was told. Elisha told him, put your hand on the bow. And Elisha laid his own hand on the king's hand. Then he commanded, open the eastern window. And he opened it. Then he said, shoot. So he shot an arrow. Elisha proclaimed, this is the Lord's arrow. An arrow of victory over Aram. And you will completely conquer the Arameans in Aphek. Then he said, now pick up the other arrows and strike them against the ground. Open-ended instruction. Strike them against the ground. So the king picked them up and struck the ground 3 times. But the man of God was angry with him, rather. You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times, he exclaimed. Then you would have beaten Aram until it was entirely destroyed. Now you will be victorious only 3 times. When you look at that story, there were two parts of instruction. One that was clear. Open the window eastward. Put your hands on the bow. Clear instruction. Closed-ended, right? And there was the open-ended instruction. Strike. Strike. He struck 3 times. And he stopped. My advice to people, really, is that when God says strike, let God tell you stop striking. I mean, there was a time in my life, some of you know the story, those that are senior, you know, God said to me, fast. He just said, Femi, fast. I just started fasting. For how long? I didn't know. I just started fasting. It turned out to be 40 days before he told me to stop. 40 days of fasting. But some people, God will say, fast. That's okay, well, I'll fast. And they say, okay, I'll do 3 days. Then I will do 7 days. After 7 days, yes. Did they tell you 7 days? They said fast. Let the person that tells you to start tell you to stop. Hallelujah. So God says strike. In my opinion, this king should have been striking. Elisha should say, okay, stop. He said, let me give them one more. Let me give them one more. That is what he should have done. You do not stop until you are told to stop. When they say go, it is all or nothing. When it is not, you are not going halfway. You are giving God your all. You are giving him everything. Everything. The people that make the most impact in life, they are not half and half people. No. Everything. Even in asking God, James would say, James 1:6, that, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of sea driven with the wind. When you ask confidently. So you ask confidently, confidently. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 14, Joshua 5, 13 to 14 says, then Joshua was near the town of Jericho. Now, this is God has said to Joshua, it was time to move in and occupy and take over. They were near Jericho, and he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with his sword drawn. Now, these are clear description of what was at play here. In his hand, boom, you saw a man standing in front of you. At night, you're about to take over what God has for you in the following day. And you see a man standing in front of you. He's not, obviously, he was a tall man, the way it is described, right? Warrior. And his sword was drawn. I mean, what that means is that his sword was not sheathed. His sword was not in place. It wasn't casual. His sword was drawn. He was ready for battle. He was in front of Joshua. And Joshua, seeing such a being ready for battle, a lot of people would have run, would have just gone away. That, yay, the enemies have come. A lot of people will have panicked. Not Joshua. Not Joshua. You will not panic in Jesus' name. The Bible says, Joshua went up to him and demanded. The boldness and the courage you need to take the doors that are opened already to you. Heaven releases them to you now in the name of Jesus. Joshua demanded, "Are you a friend or a foe? Friend or foe?" Wow. Wow. Joshua walked up to this man and said, "Are you for us or are you against us?" In other words, if you are for us, you are welcome. You need to tell us how you want to participate in this war so that we are in sync. If you're against us, a man that his sword is drawn, what if he was against us? So Joshua was ready for battle. Are you for us or are you against us? Are you a friend or a foe? If he was a foe, in other words, it is going down. It's going down now. For Joshua, it is all or nothing. It's either God comes through or there's nothing delivered. All or nothing. Now, listen to his response. He says, after Joshua asked, "Are you a friend or a foe?" He says, "Neither one." Oof. Neither one. Neither one. Neither one. In other words, I'm not necessarily a friend, and I'm not necessarily a foe. I am not any of those. "Neither one," he replied. "I am the commander of the Lord's army." At this, Joshua fell on his face to the ground in reverence and worshipped. "I am at your command," said Joshua. "What do you want your servant to do?" Oh, so powerful, so powerful. So here was it. The captain of the Lord's host. I mean, arguably, this is the Lord Jesus before he came in the flesh, because he's the only one that can accept worship. Angels will not accept worship. And it is that alone, because angels will say, "Don't do it." He came himself. Dide togun togun. Dide ti ja ti ja. Dide alagbara. Dide olorun mi. Ko wa seranwo fokan mi. Get up, man of war. Get up in your fights. Get up, O strong one. Get up, my Lord, and come and help my soul. So we see that the angel of the Lord said to Joshua, I am neither on your side or on your enemy's side. And when we look at the situation here, it should not be confusing. You're like, why would the Lord say that? Because is it not him that sent them on that errand? You need to realize that the battle is the Lord's. Whew! The battle is the Lord's. The battle you are facing, that you think you are facing in your life. You know, God has called you to be an entrepreneur. God has called you to be professional. You are a politician. God has called you, you're a student. You are a sit-at-home mom, you're a father, you're a parent. You are facing some intense battle, and you think the battle is yours. You're keeping sleepless nights. But he's saying the battle is the Lord. So the angel of the Lord was saying, "I am not for you, and I am not against you." So the question is not if God is on your side. The question is, are you on God's side? Are you on God's side? The question is not if God is going to be a part of your command. The question is, are you at his command? Joshua, realizing what was going on, he fell down and said to the angel of the Lord, "I am at your command." Oof. I am the captain. I'm in charge of this earthly force of Israel. You are in charge of the heavenly host of heaven, the force armies of the God of heaven, the God of Israel. You are in charge of it. I am in charge of these resources that you have put me in charge of. But you are in charge of the host of heaven. But I have come to submit and be at your command. Whew. So it's possible to be a Christian and not be at God's command. It's possible to have God's resources, God's people, to have a whole nation that God has put you in charge of, and you are running it as if it's your command. You can look at your family, you can look at your businesses. It is not your, it's His command. So because it's His command, every word that comes is His war. That's why, of course, you will see the scripture says repeatedly, for the battle is the Lord's. So everyone that curses you curses God. God says, I will curse all them that curse you. Why? Because you are at His bidding. I will bless all them that blesses you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you see, it is todos o nada. It is all or nothing. What is it going to be? Are you going to be all for Him? Some people run their families as though they are God. You are not God. You know you are not. You have to be submitted to what He wants. It is all or nothing. Some people run their businesses as though they are God. You are not God. It is all or nothing. Your life is not yours. It is all or nothing. It is all or nothing. Everyone say, todos o nada. Again, todos o nada. So the question for you, if you are here, you have never given your life to Jesus. It is all or nothing. Or you come to church. You tick, when you are filling your forms, you tick Christian. But you know that God is not all. You've not given all to God. And today, you want to give all to God. Because it is todos o nada. It is all or nothing. You want to give all to God today. I want to pray with you. That is me, Pastor. We want to pray with you. If you're in any of those two categories, put up your hand now over your head. And the RP is going to come up and pray with us. Let's put up that hand. Put it up over your head.
Hallelujah. With all heads bowed, please, for privacy and all eyes closed so you can focus. You've heard the call. God is an all or nothing God. And Pastor says that our salvation requires all or nothing. So that call has been made. I'm going to make the call again. This morning, if you're saying, I want to be all with you, Lord. I'm tired of being halfway. I'm tired of being lukewarm. He says he will spew out the lukewarm from his mouth. I want to surrender my all to you, Lord, this morning. Would you put up that hand? We're not going to ask you to come forward. Just want to give you a card and pray with you. I want all of you, Jesus, this morning. Would you put up that hand? And if your online instructions are already scrolling, or if you're watching on YouTube, you can just put a comment on the in the comment section. I just say, I want all of you, Lord Jesus. So I'm going to make that call again. Do not allow it pass you by. Especially in this season, God is calling you into an all-in-all relationship. And you're here to respond. Just put up that hand and take a card. And put it up over your head properly so we can see you, identify you, and give you that card. And then the second call, that's the hand over. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Come on, the hands are going up now. God bless you. That's brave. That's courageous. And as if you received that card, please, would you just begin to speak to the Lord yourself? In a moment, we'll pray together. Is anybody else ready to take that bold, that courageous move this morning? saying, I want to give you my all this morning, Jesus. Anybody else? Or for you, you were all in, but something happened. Maybe you went through a challenge. Maybe it was a relationship, and you became lukewarm. You got out of that all-in-all relationship, and you want to come back this morning. We're here to welcome you back, to lead you back into that relationship. Would you put up that hand and we'll pray together? I'll make that call one more time. If you used to be in a relationship with Jesus, but these days you don't even know anymore, you want to come back to certainty, put up that hand and we'll pray with you as well. Father, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your children that are surrendering their hearts unto you this morning. Your word says you stand at the door of their hearts and you knock. Because they have opened this morning, Lord, we ask that you come in and you make a feast with them today in Jesus' name. Father, because this one shall begin to give you their all, Lord, we ask that you give them your all as well in the name of Jesus. Father, these ones will never be called lukewarm again. These ones will never be found outside of a relationship with you. Honor and glory we give unto you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. So, one more prayer, and maybe that prayer is for a lot of people this morning. You can still bow our heads. Just bow your heads. You know, when Papi was talking, he was talking about people that are one leg in and one leg out. In your relationship with Jesus, one leg in, one leg out. Maybe it's a marital relationship. Maybe it's your business. Maybe it's concerning the things that the Lord has impressed in your heart that you ought to be doing at this time. But if you're honest with yourself, it's a one leg in and one leg out situation. The scripture says in 1 Kings 18:21 that Elijah stood in front of them and said, How much longer will you try to have things both ways? So this morning, the message to us is that you cannot have things both ways. You are in or you are out. And he also says in Revelation 3 that I know all the things you do. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. And the last scripture reference before we pray says in Luke 9:62 that Jesus said to them, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back. And no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. So if you are in that category, nobody's watching you. I want you to settle with God this morning and just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me the capacity to be all in. And begin to speak to that area of your life where you need to be all in. Perhaps he has given you a vision of what you ought to be doing now. Father, give me the capacity to be all in. You come to church, you know that God has been telling you to serve, and you're procrastinating and putting it up onto another time. Say to the Lord that today I receive the capacity, the grace to be all in. Speak to the Lord. Come on, speak to the Lord. Let's speak to him. Maybe for some of you, you don't have any area in your life. You are all in every area. Like, come on, please pray for us as well. For those of us that are praying this prayer. That the Lord will give you the bandwidth, the capacity to be all in. In spite of what you see, Joshua could have seen that battle and said, this battle is too much, so I will go back. But Joshua was courageous enough to even see the Lord and say, are you for us? Father, I receive the capacity to be all in, my Father, in every aspect, in every ramification, in the name of Jesus. Can you confidently say, I'm all in as a father? Can you confidently say, I'm all in as a mother? Can you confidently say, I'm all in as a friend? Can I confidently say, I'm all in my service unto the Lord? Or do I serve in church just so that people can see it? Or I'm serving as I'm serving unto the Lord with fullness of commitment, of dedication. Am I loving God's people all in? Say to the Lord that no more will I be one leg in and one leg out. Because I know you don't entertain lukewarmness. Marande bashada da that you will not spew me out of your mouth, Lord. Ah, brakasa yere badolo kanda la bushka hitalaya. Imbregedosu talakandia da bakosia da delia hatala. Marandele ndia zagada. There are people in this place, you begin to fast. Ah, but truly, you say my own fast is to 3 p.m. The Lord wants to give you the capacity to, the staying power to complete it. Remande kasalada, or you begin to fast and you break it along the way because something happened. Retole adana, the Lord release unto you staying power, that you will run and not grow weary, that you will walk and not faint. Your strength shall be renewed like the eagles. Father, we give you praise. So let's begin to say thank you to the Lord. Just round up that prayer, Lord, and say, Father, I thank you because you have released unto me the staying power, the capacity to be all in every aspect of my life, that I may give you praise, my Father. Thank you, faithful Father. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name. Honor and glory we give unto the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Come on, let's give a big hand unto the Lord. Clap unto the Lord for his faithfulness. Thank you, Father. Amen.